25-year cycle called the fifth sun and the beginning of the sixth sun. There is a period of chaos of 30-some years, depending upon whom you read, more or less, between the setting of the fifth sun and the rising of the sixth sun. I believe we are seeing that chaos. I am not here to tell you who is right, because there are all kinds of disagreements between the scholars that try to read the Mayan calendar. The readings that we chose were from John Major Jenkins, and I have to admit, it's a partisan thing. We know John Major Jenkins. I have appeared in two or three Time of Global Shift conferences with him, and he likes us and thinks that we do good work, so we think he does good work too. Others are undoubtedly equally worthy, but we gave you Mr. Jenkins in the fold-out, the handout that you got. And for those of you on the radio, if you go to www.llresearch.org and click on the library and then click on meetings, you'll find Homecoming 2010. Click on that and you will find our handout. And you can enjoy the same reading that these wonderful people in this circle today, in this beautiful sunlit day in Kentucky, are going to enjoy if they decide to read it. They may not. Some people are not readers. I would like to thank the Lord for the weather, because it has been very hot here this summer, the hottest summer in the state since 1936. But yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the days of the homecoming, a front came through, and it is absolutely idyllic. Thank you, Lord. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, age of Aquarius, Aquarius, Aquarius. Harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding, no more faucets or derisions, golden living dreams of visions, mystical crystal revelation and the minds to liberation. Aquarius, Aquarius. This is the end of the age of Pisces and the beginning of the age of Aquarius at the winter solstice of 2012. Western astrology is very specific about this. It turns over just like a clock on the winter solstice, and we go from the age of Pisces, which can be probably looked at as a movement from darkness to Zoroastrianism, or the theory of light overcoming darkness, to the Christianity of Jesus, where nothing is overcome and everything is loved. Until it falls into line. Now, I am not an astrologer. It has never appealed to me. So what I'm going to say, I've got to read. The sun is at 0 degrees Capricorn on the winter solstice. It makes a sextile to Neptune at the beginning of Pisces. The most important configuration is a yod, also called the finger of God. Now, Yod is interesting because Yod Hesh Valhe is the name of Jehovah or Yahweh, and it's a sacred syllable. It looks like an arrow in the chart, and it indicates change and transformation. The Yod consists of a 5-point connection between Jupiter and Pluto, and another 5-point connection between Jupiter and Saturn. There is also a central opposition made between Jupiter and the Mercury-Venus conjunction. The quincunx between Jupiter and Pluto is exact at December 21st, 2012. Once to every man a nation comes the moment to decide in the strife 'twixt truth and falsehood for the good or evil side. Some great cause, the time of harvest, offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever 'twixt that darkness and that light. Now, I'm stretching a little bit to get Christian dogma in here, but then so is Christian dogma. There have to be 24 sites that I looked at on Google search engine in which various theologists and other players in the game of 2012 have devised complex Bible codes and quoted Nostradamus and all kinds of things to work it out that this is the time of rapture. This is the time of two men will be in a field, one will be taken, the other one presumably goes down into the dust of hell. It's exciting for people to contemplate not just their death, but the death of everybody. And so people love that thought of the twilight of the gods, the Götterdämmerung. It's a very common theme throughout art and history. And I think that it actually is psychologically based on our fear of dying and our awareness that that's a bummer. So, hey, if I'm going, everybody's going to go. And so it just gets projected out to the world scene. And every generation has its prophets that cry doom. But there are more than usual prophets calling doom as of 12/21/12. 'Twilight's a-stealing over the sea. Shadows are falling dark on the lea. Borne on the night wind, voices of yore come from the far-off shore. Far away beyond the starry skies, where the love light never, never dies, gleameth a mansion filled with delight, sweet, happy home so bright. I use this sad little hymn, although it's so beautiful, to introduce you to, all right, call me crazy, I like Terence McKenna's novelty theory. He got hold of the date of 12/21/2012. And I guess he must have known enough about astrology to realize that this never has happened in the history of this world. It's like everything from the central sun to our planet lines up. Never happened before. Who knows when it will happen again? I guess some statistician will have to figure out how many billions of years before the planets and the suns and everything in this whole galaxy line up like that. So, possibly under the influence of the LSD that he had dropped, it could be, he decided that he was going to create a novelty theory. This had been in the back of his mind, but he'd never had a chance to just go for it, like when he found out how unusual this was. He said that the rarer an event or an occurrence is, the more turmoil and transformation will happen then. And since this is the rarest event in the history of the world, he posited that it would be the end of the world. I thought that was really sharp of him, whether or not he was assisted by substances. And so I include it for your delectation because it just stretches to the limit the ability of human on earth to posit weird and wonderful things and somehow come out making a weird kind of sense, which I think he does. So do thou, my Lord, thou and I never apart. So do thou, my Lord, thou and I never apart. Wave of the sea, dissolve in the sea. Wave of the sea, dissolve in the sea. I am a bubble, make me the sea. I am a bubble, make me the sea. That song brings me to Edgar Cayce. Now, Cayce didn't say anything about 2012. He said something about 1998. Well, you know, close enough, right? Because he was talking quite a bit earlier in the 20th century. His theory, and the only reason we have this is because somebody paid him to ask questions that weren't about healing. He was a man with children and responsibilities, and he needed money, you know, for his readings, because they took his energy and time every day, all day, his whole life almost. So he had to have income, and he only read for people who paid him. But bless certain people's hearts, they paid him for world readings. And that's how we got this information from Cayce. Cayce felt that humans would evolve in time into beings with supernatural powers. He described a new era of enlightenment and peace when divinity within humans would be manifested on the earth. But before this kingdom of God would rule the world, Cayce foresaw world events that can only be described as apocalyptic. He saw a period of purification necessary, involving natural disasters that would dramatically alter the face of the earth. He called for this to happen in 1998. Interestingly enough, Don asked about this, being a scientist, being aware also as a researcher of the paranormal that Cayce had said this. He was especially aware of it through a book called We Are the Earthquake Generation, which I recommend to you. I mean, it's a good book of its kind. It may be out of print by now. The answer that the Ra group gave to Don was that it was possible that this could be averted. Mind you, Don was talking to Ra in 1981, 82, 83, and a little bit in 84. So it hadn't happened yet, and everybody was very nervous about Cayce's prediction. And they said, well, it might not have to happen if things change in the thinking on Earth. We can't go into the future and predict, because things happen the way they happen, and your free will determines how they all happen. However, he did see that there would not only be these natural disasters, there would be all kinds of wars, there would be economic collapse and socio-political unrest. Certainly, he is describing the world that we see with our physical eyes. He felt, as with Ra, that this could be averted if humanity changes behavior. And this is the purpose for giving prophecies, to warn people to change so that prophecies won't happen. Now, I have done very little prophesying. Don and I, when I first started channeling, tried just once to do a prophetic reading. And whoever it was I had on the horn, I think it was Hatan, was asked what natural disasters would occur within the next 12 months. And so I was given, not words, but a one of those projections of the world that's flat. What do you call those? A Mercator projection? And little points on it. And I described where they were. My geography was pretty weak, but I mean, I had the map. So I could describe what was next to it, you know, where the water was. And so we got it out a year later, and they were all right. They were all accurate. However, I felt after doing the session that we should never do a session like that again. I could feel I could not hold my tuning. And it just went, and it didn't feel right at all. So we never did that again. So while it is possible to get information like that, I don't think it's wise. I don't think it's at all wise because of the fact that we do have a large part in creating what happens. What we think about, we magnetize to us. So it doesn't do any good to think about these things. Now, if a disaster has happened, it certainly does us all a great deal of good to empathize with the people that are having such a hard time. And you see heroes and heroines emerging from the mists every time there is a disaster. Look at all the people that, you know, were trying to help Katrina. Look at all the people that were trying to help Haiti. It's fine to respond to need, but to worry about it ahead of time, I just have come to feel is unwise in the extreme. So don't ask me what disasters are going to happen in the next year. I won't channel on it. I think there are links between the Casey material and those of Ra in that. There was a priest at the time of Ra that was probably an incarnation in the same soul stream of which Casey was a part. And he witnessed a great deal of how the pyramid was built, the Great Pyramid of Giza. So that is to be noted. Surely the presence of the One is in this place. I can feel its mighty power and its grace. I can hear the brush of angel wings, see joy on every face. Surely the presence of the One is in this place. For those on the radio, what you're hearing in the background is a train. And there's nothing to do about that but move on. I next take up what the Ra group said about 2012. Actually, they talked much more vaguely than that. They said 30 years from now or so in 1981, so that would be 2011. But they were talking about the end of the cycle. And I think it's helpful to read what they had to say so that I can share with you the precise understanding that Ra gives so carefully. Don says to those of Ra, I assume that as the cycle ends and inconveniences occur, there will be some entities who start seeking or to be catalyzed into seeking because of the trauma and will then hear your words telepathically or in written form such as this book. Is this correct? Ra says, you are correct, except in understanding that the inconveniences have begun. Certainly they will continue. There must be one train going this way and one train going the opposite way because they only have to whistle once. It's against the law, actually, for them to do more. So. hello to all those that are bound for the East Coast and those that are bound for the West Coast. I suppose I'm talking mostly about hobos because they're probably freight trains. Okay. In session 40, Don asked those of Ra, then, what will be the time of transition on this planet from third to fourth density? Ra says, this is difficult to estimate due to the uncharacteristic anomalies of this transition. There are at this space-time nexus beings incarnate which have begun fourth density work. However, the third density climate of planetary consciousness is retarding the process. At this particular nexus, the probability vortices indicate somewhere between 100 and 700 of your years as a transition period. This cannot be accurate due to the volatility of your people at this space-time. And in session 14, Ross simply says the harvest is now. Don asks in session 17 if the harvest is to occur in the year 2011 or will it be spread out? And Ross says this is an approximation. We have stated we have difficulty with your time-space. This is an approximate, appropriate, probable, possible time-space nexus for harvest. Those who are not in incarnation at this time will be included in the harvest. I'll talk more about that later in these talks. People get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no ticket. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. Basically, for Kuo, that's the story. Train's coming. Get on board. Thank the Lord. Everything's okay. There's no need to fear. In a session, February 13, 2010, Kuo says third density Earth is nested within fourth density Earth. It is not the same Earth as fourth density Earth. Third density Earth will not become fourth density Earth any more than first density Earth became second density Earth, or second density Earth became third density Earth. These densities are nested in such a way as to occupy the same area or influence within time-space and time and space-time held lovingly by the overarching energy field of your sun. This is an important point. The densities nest. We don't stand here on this very ground and then at the winter solstice it turns into fourth density Earth. It continues being third density Earth. The fourth density Earth is of a far more dense nature, denser with light, denser with information, and it nests within the third density, which nests within second, which nests within first. All of the densities nesting together, sort of like those Russian dolls that you open the biggest doll and then there's a smaller one and then a smaller one and a smaller one. But I don't think it's like that. I think the densities interpenetrate. As anybody knows that's done high school science, there's mostly space in the universe. And one electron of an atom is like standing in the middle of a football field and looking up at one of those huge superdomes at the very last 110,000th seat. That's the first atom. I mean, the first electron. Of one atom. That's how much space there is. So it's very easy to see how everything can interpenetrate. All of our concepts about large and small and so forth really have no meaning. It's as above, so below. So whatever level of size that you want to think about, there's something immensely larger, there's something immensely smaller, but it's all part of one interactive universe. So Kuo says, third density Earth is an Earth whose light is waning. Third density is shortly to become inactive, we would say, within 300 or 400 of your years beyond 2012. So they probably had a better view of it because it's closer. So their probability, possibility vortices can be more accurate. So apparently within the next 300 or 400 years, those who want to come back to third density because of adhering karma will do so. Now, the adhering karma comes from so many of those upon our planet being from other third density planets whose surface they have made uninhabitable by third density people. So the Ra group says there are 16 civilizations that have moved here. We know some of them. We know Deneb, we know Mars, we know Maldek, because Don asked about them. We also know that Atlantis was destroyed. So there are lots of people from Atlantis on our very planet that have adhering karma having to do with the destruction of a continent. And a lot of these people are even now coming back as third density / fourth density wired people. They will be able to withstand the truth of fourth density light, which is at this point interpenetrating third density light almost completely, and carries a lot more truth than third density light can. And if you feel like you've been getting hit upside the head by your catalyst lately, and you've had to look at things you never wanted to look at in this life, and you don't want to think is part of yourself, the reason is that you're dealing with this light of truth and understanding that's fourth density. And it's difficult. It's difficult to say, okay, I see where I am the robber, I am the killer, I am the adulterer. Even if it's only in my heart, I can see that in myself, and I will accept it and redeem it. That's the way you're working with it, hopefully, because that's the only way in which you're be able to love yourself and accept yourself, which Ra said is two of the three steps to becoming the creator. The third one is just becoming the creator. I think we recently had a session where Gary asked the question, I understand loving myself. I understand accepting myself. Could you talk about becoming the creator? That's a little hazy for me. And we had a pretty good session on that, which you're welcome to look up. We have a site search where you can get onto the llresearch.org site and just type in a keyword. And if it's somewhere on our site, it'll show up. Looks just like the Google search. Now, second point here, besides the fact that the densities nest, and we don't have to make this into a fourth density planet, is that we are ready. This instant, this heartbeat, we are ready if we let our love shine through us. I love to think about stained glass windows in this regard. Stained glass windows in a church all distort the light. You don't see the sunlight coming through. You see red light and blue light, all kinds of light. But isn't that beautiful? And I think we're like stained glass windows. If we can get transparent enough to let the light shine through us, we will color that light with our personalities, our egos, our characters, our thinking. But what a beautiful, beautiful light. I love to think of all of us in this circle just beaming the love and the light of the infinite creator through our eyes, and just together making this beautiful bouquet of colors that all express the love and the light of the one. Third point, the planet itself will shift all at once at 12/21/2012. Active density then will be fourth density. And those of us who are left will be those who have made our choices or not, but who are just sort of left over. This is all of our last incarnations on this planet. If we graduate in the positive sense, we'll go on to fourth density Earth. If we graduate in the negative sense, there will be another planet. And if we graduate not at all and discover that we are more comfortable staying in third density because we haven't made our choices yet, we'll go to another planet as well. There is no concept of heaven or hell to those of Ra or anybody in the Confederation to whom I've talked. There is only the consideration of where are you more comfortable? Where are you learning your lessons? And that's where you belong. As I said before, some wanderers, the third generation of wanderers, are already coming back to heal the planet. The crystal kids, or the indigo children, as they're often called, didn't really come back as wanderers, you know, when they had their opportunity. Okay, I've graduated. I'm in fourth density. This is so cool. I got so many choices now. What do I want to do? So then you think, I really loved Earth, you know, and I'd like to go back and help to heal what we did so badly with messing up. You know, I'd like to help to heal the water. I'd like to help heal the air. I'd like to help heal the earth. We've diddled with all those things. And so we see a little school kid in Canada at the age of 7 deciding that the people in Africa need more wells. And by the time he's 8 years old, he started a foundation. There are kids like this all over that are the hope of the world, along, I think, with the mothers, more than the fathers. Pete Seeger said in a wonderful interview that Amy Goodman did with him, it's the women and the children that will save us. But, gentlemen, you can awaken your female side and join them. Now, I would like to explain a concept that's very important to the understanding of harvest, and that's called the steps of light. It's a wonderful conception because, as I said, there's no judgment. The concept is this, that when you have died, you move out of your body in the indigo ray body in which you entered your physical body. You just ride out on the horse you rode in on. But then, after you've been healed in your indigo ray body, you move into your violet ray body for walking the steps of light. Now, the violet ray, this one here, is, oh, for the radio, I was pointing to a finger that has violet nail polish on it. Each step of light is a careful, measured amount of the love and the light of the infinite creator. Each step intensifies that love light, and at some point, which is not marked on the steps of light, you move from third density to fourth density light. I believe that it is extremely merciful to consider that the manner of our choosing where we will go in the next incarnation is that we walk the steps of light until we are uncomfortable with the strength of the sunshine. And we stop. We go back one and say, this is where I'm most comfortable. This is the light I can really enjoy. And then they say, well, you're still in third density, so your next assignment's going to be Planet X, you know, I don't know, whatever. And I also see a lot of people that came here as wanderers keeping on the steps of light right back to their home density. Won't that be wonderful? So it's really a grand concept, and I share it with you with great delight. Now, I like Kuo's reading on my next big point, which is you have to make the choice. That's the name of my latest book, 101, The Choice. It's an entry-level book, unlike the raw material itself, which is definitely not entry-level. It reads like German philosophy. very chewy, very dense. And so I wrote 101 to not dumb it down, not at all. I didn't miss a step, I don't think. I hit every lick, but I hit them with baby steps. That was Don's theory of teaching. Maintain the baby step. So I recommend 101 to you if you'd like to have a first view of the raw material that, if you find the raw material hard to read. I'm not going to say that everybody will have trouble with it, because there are people that don't even have more than a grade school education that have written in to say how much they love that book. it speaks to some people. And they came for those people. If you're one of the people that this, the concepts speak to, but you don't have any luck with the language, read 101 first, and it'll lead you into the raw material. Kuo says, you're not responsible for what you see coming in. Your area of responsibility is in how you respond. And isn't that true for all of us? Some of us have lucky days, some of us have an unlucky day, but we always have choices. We can respond to our catalyst with love or with fear. If you wish to polarize in service to others, start gazing at others with the realization that you are here to help them just as they are here to help you, says Kuo. Another point. We are not fixed as to when we are harvested. Now, this is very controversial, and I respect many of the people that disagree with me. Nevertheless, I can't help but share with you my opinion, which is that like Y2K, the winter solstice of 2012 will come and go, and everybody will say, I wonder what all that fuss was about. Because I don't think that it's a physical event for us. I think it's a metaphysical event. I think that our movement from third to fourth density will take place in time-space, in the inner worlds, or the heaven worlds, or however you want to describe them. Inner and outer is very deceptive, but it's the common term. Kuo says on November 21st of 2005, we do not suggest for a moment that all of you shall die in one dramatic planetary cataclysm. Indeed, once 2012 has come and gone, we are hoping that third density will have a considerable number of years, perhaps even centuries, in which those who choose to dwell in third density physical vehicles may see to the continuing restitution or healing of your planet. Consequently, big point, lose all fear. I wrote a series of seven articles about 2012. I think it was seven, might have been four. Anyway, it was a series of them. And one of the articles was all on death and fear. Because it's so hard for people not to fear death. Now, I died when I was 13. And for about 2 minutes, my heart wasn't beating. I had an experience at that time that convinced me that I had lots of work to do and that I needed to come back. And I came back, and here I am, and I never want to hear that voiceover again unless it says, servant, well done. I don't want to hear, well, we don't usually do this, but you really chose a heck of an incarnation, and we'll give you a choice. You can come back and have two incarnations and do one of your jobs in one incarnation and then come back and do your other job in the next one. Or you can go back and do both of your missions in one incarnation. So it's your choice. Of course, I thought to myself, well, let's see, I'm almost through childhood and it's been a heck of a run. I think I'm gonna, hold on with the incarnation I have and just carry on. The thought of the two childhoods to go through again is no, thanks. I'm coming back. So I came back, and all of a sudden, there I was. And everybody was looking down at me trying to get my heart started again. This was in 1956. So, I don't fear death. As a matter of fact, death was wonderful. It was just so nice. It didn't hurt anymore. Everything was fine. I was going to meet all my friends in the temple over the hill. Who wouldn't want to do that, So I don't fear death in the slightest. I'm not fond of dying. But the process of dying is sometimes quite hard. And nobody really wants to hang out in a hospital bed or whatever. But these things also happen. And dying is actually a wonderful liberation from a body that has really had it. A physical vehicle, I should say, because we're always in a body. It's just a question of whether we're in our yellow ray bodies or our indigo bodies or what. So, fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings, great tidings, great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This next quote is from Kuo on November 21st, 2005, and I love it. I'm going to read it to you. You dwell in a time that is coming to an end, and yet in your body, in your mind, and in your heart, you carry the seeds of the future within you. As you live your life, breathe in and breathe out, you are planting seeds that shall be reaped by those that come after you. We ask you to plant the seeds of love and faith with a happy heart and a peaceful mind. This is the hour in which you can choose another way. In the face of fear, remember love. In the face of anger, remember compassion. In the face of disunity, remember union. For are you not part of everyone and everything that you meet? In the face of seeming dearth, lack, and limitation of resources, we ask you to dwell in thanksgiving and joy upon the unlimited possibilities that dwell within your imagination. So, lose all fear. Keep your energy bodies clear because fear stops harvest ability cold. You can't live in fear and be harvested. You have to be living in an open heart. You can't be contracting. You need to be expanding. It's not that easy for us to do because we have so many things upon our minds. And this is why meditation and contemplation are so important. It's also helpful to consider what is fourth density like and then choose to live that fourth density paradigm. The word love pretty much covers everything. Live in love. Let your eyes be eyes of love. See not to judge, but to appreciate, to support, to understand, and to accept. And let you start that with yourself and then move outward. In Kuo, February 10th, 2008 session, he says, "It is not that this new paradigm can be put into effect and a new fourth density planet be created in third density. That is not what we are saying. What we are saying is that in third density, the focus in terms of the purpose of third density is upon each emerging self-aware spirit or soul becoming able to make the free will choice between the polarity of service to others and the polarity of service to self through faith alone." I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. That's it for the first talk. I will see you again talking about unity, free will, love, and light. Farewell, dear BBS listeners and 2010 people. And for the 2010 people, we will reconvene after a bathroom break and have questions and answers. Good.